Quantum an addict?
Hey, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
You want a chair?
I don't got a chair or a podium. Like, I don't know. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm okay if I'm standing with a podium because I can hide behind it. You know what I mean? So, my name's Dawn. I'm an addict. My clean date's March 9th, 2008. Super nervous. I was just telling my friend who's also speaking with me that I wanted him to go first, and we didn't get that message out, so here I am going first. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter, you know, and what I told him, I was like, well, you got here, you were here when I got here, so you have to go first, you know. And I'm going to talk about real quick about how last night we figured out we were speaking together and how excited I got that I was literally in the kitchen at my cabin jumping up and down. I was so excited to speak with him on a topic because, you know, when I got here, he was here, and I have grown in Narcotics Anonymous, and there were some people here for me that helped me when I was new, when I was a mess. I was such a mess when I came in here, and there were some people that man, they lifted me. They lifted my spirits. They told me that I could do this. They sat by my side. They had coffee with me. We went to Eaton Park. We went to retreats. They planted seeds. They carried message for me. And now I'm here with this one of these people, and I'm doing this with them. And it's just so exciting. This life that I was given is just so exciting to me. Wow, I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude right now to be sharing. I wasn't supposed to. I got asked when I registered, you know, I got that question, like, hey, do you, and I was like, first answer, honor and a privilege, because that's what I've been taught. Anytime you're asked to share in an NA event or H&I or do anything in Narcotics Anonymous, it is an honor and a privilege, because there was times where you guys wouldn't even want me to be in the same room with you, and here I am, being asked to speak on a topic, you know, it's awesome. And, you know, so I was like, oh, I better read my topics more will be revealed. I better go read the chapter. So I have my little ebook on my phone. And I'm like, I'm going to read this chapter and I'm going to. But the reality is that I'm not that kind of speaker. I don't quote literature. I don't. That's just not me. I don't read from the book ever. That's just not how I work. How I work is I work steps and I implement them into my life, and then that is my experience. And what this chapter is and it talks about in there is how we come in, we work steps, we learn things about ourselves and the others and the world around us, and then we live them. And then with coming with that is life, and it talks about how painful life can be and how we learn to stay clean. And that's what Narcotics Anonymous did. I mean, it gave me the tools to be able to stay clean another day, another day, another day. And then eventually, after just worrying about staying clean, came life and things happen. And man, I've been through a lot in these past 6 years. I've been through a whole lot. And I have not found one reason to use. You know, early on, I thought about it. I shared about things like, oh, this happened, I'm going to get high. And I never got high, you know. And now it's like the thought rarely crosses my mind. Now it's more like, I'm going to freak out. I can't do it anymore. I'm going to give up, you know. It's more about like how I'm handling situations with others in the world around me. And this past year, since March of this year, it's been not so good. But it's been very great at the same time. I'm just going to talk about, you know, what I've been through. And I even made a joke earlier. I was like, you know, I haven't really been to a lot of meetings this summer, so I'm just going to go up there and it's just going to be a meeting. It's just going to be an open discussion. I'm just going to share where I've been at. But that's like what the chapter is about, is how life shows up. We go through things and we stay clean. And with that being said, more will be revealed. Like when I got clean, I didn't know these things were going to happen. I didn't know I would be in the position that I'm in. And this is like the theme for me, I guess, this weekend. I was sharing about it last night, how like all this stuff has happened to me this year, and I am in the position I'm supposed to be in. I'm completely lined up where I need to be able to handle these things that have happened to me this year. And I don't know if years ago I would have been able to handle this stuff, you know. And you know, since I got here, you know, it was, you know, I got clean. I moved out of my mom. I took my kid with me. I've been raising my daughter. I got a job. I started sponsoring girls and all these responsibilities. And that's what life is. Life. And I remember my dad saying to me before I could get clean, you know, this is what adults do. We grow up. We have children. We don't have children, whatever. We grow up. We get jobs and we pay bills. Why is it so hard for you to do that? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't have an answer to that question then. I was like, I have absolutely no idea why it's so hard. And then I went to my first rehab and I learned why it was so hard, because I'm a drug addict, and the way I think is different from the way other responsible adults think. So once I learned that there's a solution to this for me, once I learned that there's a solution, there's a place to go, I was no longer, you know, able to claim ignorance. Like, I don't know. I can't say I don't know anymore. Now I know. And I was scared to death, like, when I first got clean. I was scared to be clean. I was scared to handle responsibilities. I had this daughter. She was, like, 3 years old at the time. And I was like, I can't do this. This is too much. And I kept using out of fear of life, really. Life scared the hell out of me. And I'm living life today, and it's scary, and I'm living it, and I'm doing it. And I'm doing it because other people were here telling me that they did it and I could do it too. And I thank God for that. And so I moved out of my mom's, and I got my stuff together, and I got a job, and I got a car, and raising my daughter, and I got a year clean, and you know, I got service commitments and sponsees, and I started doing the things that I was told to do. This stuff is going to help you stay clean. And I started doing the stuff, and it helped me stay clean, and I still do it today. And the foundation, and what I believe is that from working all 12 steps, I have learned so much about myself and how to deal with the world around me, and that my self-centeredness is still there, but I've learned that it's not okay to live like that. I'm not the kind of addict where I'm like, well, I'm an addict and I'm self-centered and that's just it. Like, that's not okay with me anymore. It hurts me extremely bad when I hurt others. And in the beginning, I didn't feel that way. And from working these steps, I have grown to learn that, like, man, when I do something wrong to somebody else, it hurts me now. So I'm so grateful for these steps and learning how I can stop hurting people. So what happened in these few years is that, you know, I have a daughter with a man who I hurt a long time ago. And he carried his anger and resentments towards me still to this day. And I had to deal with a person. And it drove me nuts. And I went to meetings and I shared about it. And he was in every step I worked. Every step I worked, that situation was there. Because, you know, I'm co-parenting with somebody. And it got worse, and it got worse, until eventually we were in court, and he wanted more of my time, and he lost, and then it just went crazy from there. I've done nothing for the past year and a half except pay for an attorney and battle somebody. And my daughter is gone. Since the day she was born, she's been with this person every weekend. He got married. He had another kid, a stepkid. She's known a stepmom. She's known this family her whole life. And in March, he signed over his custody rights and she hasn't seen him. And the type of person I am, the type of person, you know, we are, the addict that I am, I hold a lot of guilt and shame, and I think it's my fault. Because I'm self-centered and it's all about me. And I know it's not my fault because I have people in my support group and in my circle that tell me that I'm doing everything right. That I didn't do anything wrong, and this isn't about me, and I have this, but I have this brain, this distorted brain that tells me, you know, that I did something wrong, that I'm a bad person. And that's where Narcotics Anonymous comes in the foundation, where I can pick up the phone and tell on myself and tell people, like, I'm feeling this. But, you know, like, with this, like, severe thing that happened with her in her life, this major change, you know, she'll be 10 next week. Major change. Came a lot of blessings at the same time. Our bond has grown way stronger than it has ever been. She doesn't show any signs of being upset about this. Like, there's nothing yet, you know. And, I mean, I've spent every moment that I could, except for work, with her. And then I found out my mom has cancer. And, I'm sorry, she had cancer. They got rid of the mass. It's gone. She's a survivor now.
All right.
My parents have done, I mean, I don't believe that I would be here today if it wasn't for them. And I'm so grateful for the parents that I have, that I've been able to learn what morals and values really is, you know, through them. And I was able to, like, learn things in here as well as to how to treat others, you know. And so my babysitter is my mom. And my mom's sick, and she's going through her chemo right now, and she's sick. And so I've had to pay sitters while I go to work. So my free time when I'm not at work has been with my daughter. And, like, so what I'm saying is that my whole schedule changed. My whole, when I got here and I got clean, I was able to hit meetings 4 or 5 times a week. And throughout the years, I've maintained a 3 or 4 meeting a week. That has been my story. I was able to maintain that. And this summer, I've probably hit 1 every 2 weeks. That's been my schedule. And I'll tell you what, I would not have survived that if I did not have the tools and the foundations and those 12 steps under my belt. And I will not tell any of my sponsees that it's okay to go to 1 meeting every 2 weeks. But the tools that I've learned is the higher power, sponsorship, the step work, service. I left my service commitment was overdue. I've had a service commitment since I came in, and it was overdue. My time was up. So around March, I was like, I can't do service anymore. I've got a lot going on my plate, blah, 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 blah. You know, my term's overdue anyways. So for 6 years, I've been in service, and then I had to, you know, walk away from it. And then a position opens up. Well, actually, the position's been open up for years. But there was a strong need for it in my area, and nobody was taking this commitment. And its activities. And in my area, there's a very large group of younger people who want to have activities, you know. And they were having activities, and there was conflict the way that they were doing things. And you know, really, we needed a subcommittee, and somebody had to step up. And I prayed about it, and I just felt, when I'm involved with service, when I'm doing something, I'm staying clean and I'm staying connected and I'm staying in the middle. And that's what I was taught when I was a greeter at my first home group, friendly group, Christie Park. Hey, that's what I was taught. You know, you're going to greet at the door, and then I got a year clean, and you're going to be secretary, you know, and then after that, you're going to take a position at area. And that's what was installed into me. And it was 6 years clean, and my world completely falling apart. I took a service commitment, because staying in the middle of this fellowship is, I believe, what keeps me breathing sometimes. You know, I could sit here and say, like, I stay clean for my daughter, you know, I stay clean for my sponsees, but I've seen people with time, with sponsees and with kids who use. I have to take every avenue that I can take to stay here. So I took this position, and we're going to have our first subcommittee meeting, and it's exciting, you know. And so now my daughter's back in school, so I can start hitting meetings again. And like I told my mom, she survived her cancer. She's still got her chemo going on, but she's doing a lot better. So I've survived this summer. And in the 6 years, I've survived other things as well. And I know that everything can always be worse. But, you know, as an addict, you know, we like to get into the poor me's. And there's been times throughout the years that I would just take a 3-day stay in bed thing. I'd get up in the morning, put the kid on the bus, go right back to bed, and stay in there till 3 in the afternoon, get her on the bus, and just sit on the couch. I'd do that from time to time. But when I do that, I tell myself, and I let somebody know what I'm doing, and I pull myself right out of that, you know. There's a lot of chapters in our basic text, like More Will Be Revealed, and Recovery and Relapse, I believe, is a very important chapter, because it tells us what not to do, basically. And if you're doing these things, stop doing it right now. Mm-hmm. You know? And those are like the tools. And you know, when I came in, like I was sharing earlier, and those people were here, man, I can't even tell you how blown away I am when I come to these retreats and I think about my first retreat and having 60 days clean and running around in the woods till 4 in the morning, just full of life and full of energy. And now I'm like, it's midnight. What are we doing? I can't do this. It's time for bed, you know? And but I look back on those days and how important it was, you know, and how like filled with gratitude I am for this weekend. And, you know, like I shared about my daughter, her whole life changing, and how, you know, she would be gone every weekend. She would be gone, and now she's with me full time. And I took her up to the last retreat for the day, and she had a blast. And she was so excited to come this weekend. And now here I am in a cabin with my best friend and her daughter and my daughter, and we are just having so much fun. And that's what it is, man. I mean, I know Narcotics Anonymous in the beginning, it was all about going to meetings. It was all about, you know, it was my life. Like, I was just banging out NA. It was my life. And today, my life is my life. NA gave me this life. Like, I wouldn't be here with the responsibilities that I have. And I wouldn't be here with the perspective that I even have today on this life. Like, when I was using, or when I would get clean even and not, you know, work in a program or whatever, I didn't think things were beautiful, you know. And, man, today I just breathing in fresh air, looking around at the beauty of nature. You know, don't get me wrong, I like the city, but coming up here and just really taking a look at how huge this world is and how little I am and how, like, all these small things around me build me up inside. Like, man, I can't tell you how important it is to hug the newcomer and tell them that everything's going to be okay, because you guys hugged me and told me everything's going to be okay, and guess what? It's all good. So, you know, I like to keep it short, so thanks for letting me share.
All right. Introduce the second speaker, Walt.
Walt?
Walter. Walt from the fill in the group.
Oh my God. Oh. Hey, Walt, my man.
Hey, Walt.
Clean date is 10/28/08, and that's not a direct reflection of how long I've been around this fellowship. That's a direct reflection of what not to do around this fellowship, and that's you. I got here in 96, pretty beat up. So ongoing joke throughout my addiction was, you know, as long as my hair looked good, I was okay. But at the end of the road, it was looking pretty effed up, and so was I. I stayed abstinent for 25 months. I stayed in the rooms for 13 months of those 25 months until my sponsor passed away holding my hand. And I was that addict who came in here right before his 28th birthday with a resentment for 23 years against God for taking my sister, an older sibling, in a house fire when I was 5. And unaddressed issues will undress you around here. In here or out of here, they will undress you. And sometimes it may be a very humiliating process that goes on when you get undressed with them. And, I showed up once in those 12 months, after that 13 months, to pick up my 18-month key tag, you know, and show you how well things were going for me. And I didn't even bother to hug anybody on the way out the door after I got my key tag. You know, because money, property, and prestige had diverted me from my primary purpose. And, you know, in that process, too, it had, when you unplug yourself from the juice of Narcotics Anonymous, like my sponsor talks about, you know, if I'm not jumping in the juice and I'm unplugging myself from it, I'm left to my own devices. This addict left to his own devices is not a pretty picture. I don't know how it was for you, but I do know how it was for me. And God forbid if you were around me when I was using. You were my hostage. And I took hostages. I didn't just use, I took hostages. I might drop you off in this state. I might drop you off in this state. It didn't really matter to me. Once you served your purpose, you were free to go. You know, and sometimes, you know, that can end up in a state of Florida or anywhere in between. And it wasn't pretty. You know, it really wasn't pretty. But my recovery has followed three phases, unfortunately. That first part of that phase on what happens when you don't do anything. It talks about abstinence plus change equals recovery. Well, I didn't hear the second part. I was still the same guy, abstinent. The second process took place when I used for 6 months after that first time and came back into this program. I could have come in here April 1st of 99. I chose to come in here April 2nd. I didn't want my clean date to be associated with April Fool's Day. I didn't know I was the fool that was still out there. My best friend had dropped over dead in front of me smoking crack, foaming at the mouth, and while the paramedics were taking him out, I picked up the pipe and kept smoking it. Very cold and callous. That's what comes along with active addiction too. You know, I'll share about that a little bit later because there's been a neat process that has taken place with that. God has a way of restoring some things in your life that you just don't put importance to in the degradation you've caused in somebody else's life. And it's a neat process of more to be revealed. You know, I asked the guy to sponsor me the 30 days clean. 2 days prior, at 28 days clean, I had been sitting in a meeting and a guy sitting across from me in a speaker meeting just kept running his mouth and running his mouth and running his mouth. About 10 minutes into that speaker, I had enough and I reached over and grabbed him by his throat. With about 70 people in the room. And it hit me. I had a moment of clarity, I guess a spiritual awakening at that point, when I realized the whole room had gone quiet and they were all looking at me. And I looked at the speaker and he looked at me and he said, "Are you finished yet?" And I felt like crawling under the table. I really did, you know. But I went to this person a couple days later and I said to him, you know, look, I think I know how to stay clean. I just don't know how to recover. I don't know how to do that. You know, and he said, "Well, you only got to change one thing." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Everything." I said, "I don't know if I can do that." He said, "And work on the next thing in front of you. Not the next right thing, because you're going to think you got a choice. Work on the next thing in front of you that comes up. We'll get there." He goes, "But it's about change, and part of your change is you're going to have to learn how to work and live these steps in your life." And I had no idea what they were. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up. I did know what they were, because I tried to pull a dopamine move on my first sponsor when I walked up to him at 11 months clean and said, "I think I'm ready to work the fourth step." And he said, "Really? Well, what about the first three?" I said, "Well, I know my life's unmanageable and that." I said, "Cause I'm still staying in my dad's house." He just started laughing a little bit more. He said, "Well, what about the second step?" I said, "Well, I know I'm being restored to sanity because I'm not trying to rob you at the moment." Because that was part of my story. And he chuckled a little bit more, you know, and he said, "Well, what about the third step?" I said, "Well, you know, just for today, I might turn it over." He really got a good kick out of that. He said, "Just for today, why don't you keep coming back?" And, you know, and I did. And, you know, that process, that there was a seed that was planted right there at that point with my first sponsor that it took down the road for someone else to nurture, water and nurture and allow to grow. And I didn't recognize that until I started to work the steps in my life. And, you know, I remember that my real first taste of resentments came along right after I had worked the fourth step. And I was on my way to Detroit with my sponsor and my grand sponsor at the time and everything and that. And he was driving and they were talking about some step work and, you know, that grandiose addict that was sitting in the back seat, myself, decided he had something to say. And they just went like this: "Well, you don't have anything to say right now." And I was pissed. It was Thursday. And I'm telling you, I was pissed. And so Sunday when we're on our way back, he says to me, never looked at me, just kept driving along the road, never looked in the rear mirror. He said, so what'd you hear this week? And I said, well, I heard a lot of good things. He said, you didn't hear a damn thing. You're still stuck in your head from Thursday. And he was absolutely right, because I was still carrying that resentment of how he talked to me. Don't you know who I am? You know? But in spite of that, I stayed clean. And, you know, I didn't get it easy from these two guys. And I'm grateful for that, too, because the nurturing, the caring that took place with these two that had emotionally invested in my recovery paid dividends today that I don't think I could ever repay to Narcotics Anonymous. I really don't. You know, I was listening to Alan share last night, you know, through that compassion for that other addict that we sponsor, and it really hit me. You know, one thing that Narcotics Anonymous has afforded me the opportunity to is I don't have to hide my emotions from you on how I feel at that particular moment. And last night when he was sharing this, you know, it broke me. It just really did, because I've experienced that on both ends, as a sponsor, as a sponsee. And, you know, so I kept working these steps, and, you know, one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in recovery is I was watching my mom in her act of addiction. I was watching this disease try to kill her one day at a time. And on Mother's Day in 2000, I had to put her into a psychiatric unit on Mother's Day. My family wanted to kill me for it. But I didn't want to watch her die, because that's what was coming next. You know, when my mom passed away, you know, she had more clean time than me. And I was so grateful for that. I really was. And it was such a blessing for me, because it hasn't been those deaths. It hasn't been those traumatizing things that I've used over. It's been relationships. The inability to recognize my emotions and learn how to get through. The inability to share with another addict exactly where I'm at, instead of saying, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I'm fine. You know, we all know what that word stands for around here. You know, and I've experienced that. And, you know, so after this process, and it was really something when my mom passed away, in 4 months' time, my sponsor, my grand sponsor, and one of my friends in recovery, in 4 consecutive months, we all lost our mom. And it was a neat process how we all leaned on each other through that to get through that. And it was difficult, but I made it through it. But, you know, at 5 years clean, my grand sponsor passed away, and instead of my sponsorship family coming this way, we went this way. And once again, the issue that I thought I had dealt with already through resentments with God, I found a whole new level of resentments that I didn't even know were there. How could you screw me again? You know, and for the next 4 years, and I share this because, you know, what I share up here, it is not for me. If you can use it, please do. Please do. Because of my experience and my pain, if it can save you from yours, by all means, please, apply it. Because at that point right there, no matter how much work I had done around here in Narcotics Anonymous, no matter how many service positions I had served in and everything, isolation and complacency became a way of life for the next 4.5 years. Emotionally shut down. Went through the, you know, the motions of life, but completely shut down. You know, got caught in a drive-by relationship, wasn't looking for it, was being a nice guy, providing somebody an opportunity, was having a problem in their own dysfunctional family. You know, I'm a human being, And, you know, you can't walk out into my living room while I offer you my bedroom and walk out into my living room at that point with nothing on and expect me not to do it. I'm a human being, and that's what happened. And, you know, so I got a soon-to-be 12-year-old son from this relationship. She's still caught up in active addiction. I've had custody of him for 10 and a half years. I love it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Would not. And probably one of the best things that has ever happened in my life, because it has allowed me through this program and working these steps to open up emotionally to another human being and teach them a way to live. I didn't have that with my dad. My dad was a great provider, but it was such a dysfunctional and violent home I grew up in that it was unbelievable. You know, knock down, drag him out, you know, show up the next morning. And but the thing about it is, in the knee process that has taken place with that is, I believe, almost being 12, that he knows this program better than most members in it. You know, we have open discussions with each other today. I don't have to worry about where his emotions, where his feelings are. I afford him the opportunity. We have our own talk place. You know, sometimes we can take care of it without going there. Sometimes we can't. We got to go there. He gets a milkshake, I get a mocha, we go sit down and talk. You know, it's our deal with each other. But, you know, and during that process of that 4.5 years where this had happened, I just completely moved away from everyone because I felt like everyone else was moving away from me. The disease had isolated me from the inside out to not be available to anyone else. I took a job in Kentucky after meeting this strange woman on the internet, and you know, sat in a meeting in Cincinnati, Ohio, with 9.5 years clean. Didn't even know I sat through the meeting. Chairperson came up to me after the meeting and said, "Are you waiting for someone?" I said, "Yeah, I'm waiting for the meeting to start." He said, "I got bad news for you. You've already sat through and everybody's gone. How can I help you?" And I was like, wow. And I'm an extremist. I love the rock climb. You know, I love the rappel. And I found myself in the middle of the River Gorge National Park with 13 other dysfunctional people just like me, but only they were used and then I hadn't yet. After I started using with them, they decided on a 300-foot drop that they were going to start untying the rope at 150 feet from the bottom. And, you know, thank God that I was able to make it to the bottom of that cliff and walk the next 2.5 miles out of there. You know, I drove back to Pittsburgh 4.5 hours later. I was in a detox. You know, called my sponsor while I was in there, who I had not spoken with for a while. And when I did, you know, those same people around this fellowship who, we were just talking about this morning too, and last night, how many people that I knew I had touched and helped in this process, you know, through a lot of things. Some of them would not even hug me when I came back in the door. Like they were afraid they were going to catch something. Didn't know they already had it. Some disease of addiction. You know, but I couldn't hold on to that part. I couldn't allow that to be my focus. I had to learn how to put some days together. I had to learn how to find another level of humility. And you know what? The one thing that this relapse has taught me is a whole different perspective and a whole different level of humility that has come about. But it's also taught me the importance that it talks about in More to Be Revealed about working with a newcomer. You know, I had to learn how to become one again. I had to learn how to let myself become one. Because other people are like, you know, you've got this experience, you know, we can just bypass that and you can do this. No, we can't. Because if I start to take shortcuts here, it's going to catch me here. Every time. you know, coming into this fellowship early on, and that, you know, consequences came week down the road, 2 weeks down the road. They come immediately today. There is no waiting in between. They immediately, you know, you know, point, I gave you a point, Kate. We were on our way back from Columbus, Ohio for a convention, me and my sponsor and my grand sponsor. And I was driving my grand sponsor's vehicle and going down the road, and I missed my turn to go to Pittsburgh. And my sponsor said, well, you know, you could turn around right here in the middle. It's a big red sign. We just came from this workshop that said, working in the law, red light indicators, working in the laws. Well, there was a big red sign with a slash through it. It says, you know, what the fine could be. Do not attempt this. I made the turn. The indicator came 10 seconds later in the rearview mirror. And he pulled up next to the vehicle, got out. He said, do you know what you did wrong? I already have my driver's license like this. I said, yes, sir. My sponsor said, well, we missed our turn and needed to turn around. I said, look, I'm getting a ticket. I already know what I did wrong. Let's just move on. Let's just move on. And it was really something, you know, when I think I'm getting away with something here, you know, it is always revealed to me long before I see it. But I don't pay attention to the signs. You know, recently, you know, there was a process that I knew better, knew what the results were going to be, knew damn well what the pain was going to feel like, because I had 10 years clean from this behavior, and I did it anyway. And the ending of it wasn't the part that I was pissed off about. The part I was pissed off about was I was no longer the priority. It touched my ego and my pride. How dare you? In the past, when that would happen, it wasn't just you I was coming after. Anyone who was attached to you was susceptible to that pain with it. What Narcotics Anonymous has taught me is that I can find a solution. The point that came in later and being revealed was because I was no longer the priority didn't mean I had to use over it either. It's the first time I've gotten through something like this without using it. Without. And our chapter talks about that. You know, it talks about being able to survive those emotional times. It talks about how, you know, in those times and that we seek God and we press in, you know, with more service work and working with others and with my sponsor. And in doing so that I like what Debbie shared right before this. It's like, you know, she said, you know, I know the road. I just don't go down it as far this time. You know, and it's amazing too because I ain't got nobody to blame. Straight volunteer, not a victim. Straight volunteer. You know, and thank God that the God of my understanding has an infinite way of chuckling. You know, during these times and that too, because he set me up to speak on a 6-step character defects, and then last night sets me up to speak on this and more be revealed. Because the one thing that I have been taught around here through this process is that I don't say no to Narcotics Anonymous. It never said no to me. Every time I reached, it reached back. It was not one time someone did not reach back to me. You know, and then finding that out last night, you know, going down to visit my friend, and you know, look, I was that guy who watched her pick up her key tag the first time and when she got back here. beauty is not only watching the recovering addict she's turned into, but watching the person she's turned into, watching the mother she's turned into, but watching the nurturing person of helping others she has turned into, as a direct result of not only buying into this process, but living this process. I wish to God I could do this thing perfect. But see, you know what? One thing I recognize too, one of my biggest character defects is perfectionism. I got to realize what it tells me in the first steps. I'm just human. I'm just human. But thank God it told me in that workbook too that, you know what, the healing starts here, but I need some concrete activity in order to stand on. And through that process of that concrete activity, you know, the chapter talks about, you know, I'm willing to go that one extra meeting, willing to stay on the phone that one extra minute. And, this weekend was not even about coming up here and doing this for me. This weekend was about me, and it was my choice. And my son's pissed because he's home, because he's usually at every one of these events with me. And Dawn knows that. But this weekend wasn't about him either. This was about spending some time with my sponsor that I really needed one-on-one. And spending some nurturing time. Because it's one of my favorite retreats. It really is. And I haven't had the opportunity to be here in a while. You know, when I got here, I was a young guy. Real young guy. I'm not old right now, but a real young guy. And ran around like there was no tomorrow. One way or the other. You know, I kept telling me, just don't get it over. You know, the behaviors will come later in the steps where you can change things. And I am so grateful. I'm not so quick to check into that behavioral clinic today to exercise those behaviors. Mm-hmm. I don't like the pain that comes about from it. It's not comfortable anymore. Where at one time it was a very comfortable area to stand in. You know, but the one thing that this process has afforded me is that responsibilities. You know, even though I'm up here over the weekend, I have to step out of here for a couple hours to go take care of responsibilities of getting my work in today for a couple hours. You know, I still got to pay the bills. You know, the 11-year-old doesn't want to look in the cupboard and say, how come that's empty? You know, why is that tag on that meter? You know, what do you mean we have to go somewhere else to live? Just for today, you know, and trust me, every one of those three things I just said, I have lived in this process. I have lived. I have learned not to take things for granted anymore in my life. I have learned to appreciate each thing that comes about. Because let me share this with you. Things came real easy along this way. I've never had a problem making a dollar. I do a lot of side work besides my job. But I lost my job at 18 months clean and found myself staying under a bridge for the next 3 months. And I'm talking about this with my sponsor this morning is, you know, just recently, 6 months ago, I thought I had dealt with a resentment with someone in my sponsorship family. I used to have people detoxing on my couch. People that were evicted or whatever would be in my house. And not one person would answer the phone or open up their door when it happened to me. I was pissed. And I didn't realize to the degree that I was pissed. But about 6 months ago, I was sitting in a meeting, and this person stepped to the podium and started sharing on surrender. And this thing felt like this ball of gel just coming up out of me. And it felt so good because it was such a release point to have this just come out and recognize what it was. And have been able to deal with it, have been able to find some great freedom. When the pain gets great enough, you'll let go. Just keep holding on. And we were chuckling about that this morning. And you know, some things came revealed, and one thing I loved about that chapter and reading that too, because I come from a literature-oriented family. You know, I'm that guy who pulls this out. I'm that guy. Because they told me if I didn't know what the hell was in here, how am I going to learn how to live it? I heard Cher at a meeting last night, and I never crossed Cher about somebody else, but I heard Cher last night about, you know, not liking this and not liking that. Well, that's cool. Because I can respect it and I can listen to those things and that. But an addict over 51 years ago and numerous addicts after that made the decision that we needed some literature to follow. I don't know about you, but this addict wants to hang out underneath the lights that are still out up here. My problem is trying to find the ones that are lit so that I can expose it. So if I don't have that part in front of me that I've written by addicts for addicts, am I going to ever know what it's like to hang out under? I still think it's cool and comfortable to stand over here when I can't afford that. Our fourth step in this fellowship, in the back of the basic text, next to the last paragraph, states, we develop the ability to survive our emotions. If I'm developing it, means I haven't tapped into it yet. Didn't know it was there. But I'm learning how to develop it through the steps. So in that process of being more revealed and realizing this, I had to sit down with my sponsor. And when I shared this, and I hadn't told him about what had happened, I was given a CD after this sixth step, and I said, look, before we talk about this, I really need you to listen to this. I just need you to listen to this. And he took the time to do it, and we got together because I understand recovery is an ongoing process, and it doesn't mean that I just worked through the steps once. It doesn't mean I just worked through the traditions once. Because I just got done finishing my third step and looking at some things. And it was right on time with where I'm at with some things. And it's really neat because my work process is in a reconstruction phase with my job. My job's secure. But the God of my understanding is affording me the opportunity in my life right now in order to look at some things on a deeper level from the inside out. And look at some things to take some corrective action, not to continue to stick myself in areas, you know, that can do harm. Thank God that I still have the sponsor I have. I'm grateful for that. You know, thank God I have the friends I have. You know, me and Dawn have talked on numerous bases about various subjects over the time, you know. You know, one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced in my recovery is having a friend that close that I can sit on a blanket with and look at the stars with and just enjoy that moment. And just enjoy that moment. You know, just enjoy that moment. And I fondly, you know, it's one of my fondest memories. It really is with another person in this process. You know, that I can enjoy that time with somebody. Because, you know, what's really neat, like my son in that, and like her with her daughter, I've watched not only her open up like a flower in the sun, I've watched her daughter open up like a flower in the sun. That's cool. You know what I mean? It is an honor and a direct privilege, you know, anytime I get a chance to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous. I could never repay the debt that Narcotics Anonymous paid for me. But I'll keep trying. My grand sponsor passed away coming back from a meeting with eight other addicts in his car. And you know what? It's what he did to the end. It is. You know, I don't know. You know, I see things in a whole different light and a whole different perspective today. You know, and the third part of this phase is what I don't want to do again. So just for today, if I don't want to do it, stop doing it, right? You know, so I keep doing that. I keep showing up. I keep listening to learn. Because it says in there, one of the greatest gifts that we could have is the ability to listen. To listen. I've taken that opportunity this weekend to really, really listen. Not only to you guys sharing and other people talking, but to listen to my sponsor. My sponsorship book talks about, you know, he's the one that holds that spiritual flashlight for me. So if I'm not going to tap into my spirit, you know, it's a program of change, it says in that chapter too. So if it's a program of change, then why wouldn't I want to change? And what am I really doing here if I'm not changing? No one can answer that but me, you know. And so it's been a real honor and a privilege, and I just want to thank you guys for letting me share with you.